chapter 4 we'll turn to tonight. And I'll be reading three verses there, 14, 15, and 16. And then I'm going to have you just emphasize five of the words, five of them. And you'll be guessing which five I mean, and I'll let you know, okay? Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with, now you read, the feeling of our infirmities. Read it again. The feeling of our infirmities. And those feelings are very fresh at times. Those feelings are a strong memory at times. But the Lord, understand, is touched by them. And it goes on, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Now, the faith that Brother Taylor spoke about has to grab a hold of that. It's got to grab a hold of it and personalize it. It's easy to read, and we've read it many, many times. And perhaps even prayed, Lord, you're our high priest. I'm coming to the throne. I need to come boldly. And when we've prayed scripture that way, and that's good. But so often, it is merely read, and then we go on. God help us tonight to understand he really is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Amen. You can be seated. Tough times. I suppose that there are so many cliches that could fit in with where we are in the world today, with so many things going on, so many disappointing aspects that are there. By the way, there was my mistake, a miscommunication with Brother Farmer. He didn't realize that he was supposed to speak tonight. That's why he's not here. It was my mistake. But we'll try to catch up with him another time. He had things going on in Anchorage that he had to take care of as well. Unfortunately, I didn't make it clear that he was to be here tonight and speak. We had a good lunch with him and admired his airplane again and prayed for it and trust that God's going to open doors to be able to go. This COVID thing has shut the doors to the villages up north that he wants to fly to, that he wants to evangelize. And he's got the plane, he's got the fuel, he's got the time when he's off from the mine, and he's got open doors. But the doors have been shut because of this COVID thing. We really need to bind together in prayer that that the Lord would open that door and provide that way, praise God, that the Lord would bless and minister. I read today, in the daily reading from Isaiah, how he made a nail in a sure place. Brother Farmer has been like a nail in a sure place. And the Lord can close the doors and no man can open. The Lord can open the doors and no man can shut it. So we're going to believe that God's going to provide and make a way. But I thank God that even in tough times, we're seeing people get the Holy Ghost, we're seeing people get baptized, we're seeing people be healed, and we're seeing the Word of God come to pass. Thank the Lord, because of the goodness of God and His blessings. And I remember sayings of books that I've read, you know, tough times never last, but tough people do. And there's a book I'm going to get that I've been had my eye on for a while, leadership in, or leading rather, in tough times. And And I know Maxwell's got some good things to say in there. I probably already read them because it's a compilation of stuff from his other books. But it's good to refresh our memories. That's why we spend so much time in the Word of God. Need to refresh our memories. Praise God. Because we have weaknesses and we have strength. Everyone has their share of both of them. Amen. And thank God, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can help each other to overcome weaknesses and to share our strengths and to help each other. Amen. And be blessed of the Lord. Now, leadership books say, don't spend time trying to strengthen your weakness. Emphasize your strength. Now, if the weakness is sin, obviously you got to do more than that. You got to repent. You got to ask the Lord for help. You got to be an overcomer. But we're talking about job skills. We're talking about situations involving leadership. Emphasize your strengths. Go with your strengths. Someone else can come along and balance the weaknesses. That's the benefit of a team. That's the benefit of a family, the body of Christ. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that there is that kind of emphasis that the Lord puts in His Word. The victories of Hebrews 11, if Brother Taylor were then able to go on, there would be many, many more aspects of victory and faith that they obtained a good report. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Out of weakness, we're made strong, the Bible says. And thank God that there's that kind of power. But listen to these words. Tortured, cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds and imprisonment, stoned, sawn asunder, slain with the sword. That sound very victorious to you? No. Oh, not in the natural sense. Not in the sense of, you know, how man perhaps would measure it. But these people who experienced those things stepped into a greater glory. They stepped into the presence of God. Amen. Their life did not end with those kinds of treatments. But the Lord brought them through because of His strength. Amen. So it doesn't matter if they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. This is the ending of Hebrews 11. But we know victory. Victory was there because of the power of God. In times of weakness, God became their strength. Thank the Lord. I'm glad there can be a new paradigm that we step into in the power of the Lord. Not my strengths. There's way more liabilities than there are assets. But I'm thankful that the Lord is able to impart His power and His blessing, praise God, so that I shift from weakness to strength in the power of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that He does what He promised to do. Now, Paul had infirmities, a thorn in the flesh that he prayed about three times. And I don't think Paul would have mentioned it in his second letter to the Corinthians if it had been just a minor problem. It had just been a minor situation that he was dealing with. No, he felt strong about it so that he would include it because he was leading up to what the Lord told him. And those three prayers were not answered. He continued to have the thorn in his flesh. And offer conjectures as to what it might have been. He complained about eyesight one time. He spoke about his speech not being, fluent and eloquent and so on. Who knows what it was, a speech impediment or eyesight that was failing? We don't know. But he prayed, Lord, remove this thorn. God gave him an answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And that's what we have to believe. That's what we have to claim. That's what we have to pray. Lord, let your grace be sufficient for me in this hour, in this time, in this difficulty, in this situation, whatever it is that you're facing. Thank God. And the Lord told him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And again, we pray, God, let your strength come and cover my weakness. Let your strength come and overpower the situation that I'm facing and bring me into greater power. And some amazing statements. I will rather glory in my infirmities. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. In verse 10, he repeats the same idea. I will take pleasure in infirmities. What in the world? Has anybody ever prayed that or had that attitude? I can confess I sure haven't. I've not gloried in my infirmities. I've not taken pleasure in infirmities. I don't like them. I don't like weakness. I don't like having the shortcomings and the situations that would be described as infirmities. But what Paul was recognizing was the exchange that he would be able to make. God's power, God's strength for his weakness, for his confusion, for his troubles and difficulties. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 in the Living Bible renders it this way. I am with you. That is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. That's how the Lord would give his promise in just plain language, plain English. Verse 10 in the Living Bible, when I am weak, then I am strong. The less I have, the more I depend on him. I think that's a good formula. I think that's a good way to examine and look at everything that comes against us and we come up against. Thank God that there can be that power and that blessing of the Lord, because he knows all things. His ways are higher than ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows how to bring forth the answer. He knows how to bring you forth. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that he knows about weakness. Now, majesty, we know, is something that we proclaim unto the Lord and worship unto the Lord. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, he says, I saw him high and lifted up. In chapter 9, he says, he's wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In chapter 40, he says, he gives power and renews strength. In chapter 44, he says, he's a sovereign, solitary God. And it continues, of course, on through Isaiah's book. But chapter 53 takes a totally different turn. It describes the Lord in weakness. And let's take just a moment to go through some of the verses and some of the phrases that are contained there, because there is a stark contrast to all the other descriptions of the Lord that we find in Isaiah. And weakness, rather, is portrayed as we look at these verses. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected. The astonishment of some who heard the Lord teach and saw the Lord heal became antagonism. And they constantly dogged his steps and criticized his methods and found fault with what he was doing. In verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted. And when he was on the cross, there were those who did not show any sympathy, did not show any attitude of trying to help. But they hollered out, save yourself. And the rulers, the soldiers, the thieves, they were all mocking. Save yourself. You've saved others. Come down from the cross. And thank God he didn't. He stayed there and took the punishment for you and I. Thank the Lord. And that's what Isaiah 53 is about. He felt forsaken. And he felt the pain. And he felt the difficulty of being on that cross for 6 hours. In verse 3, he's a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Verse 12, he has made intercession for the transgressors. And I'm thankful that he continues to make intercession, not as someone who is kneeling in prayer, not as someone who is continuing in the aspect or the work of intercession, but because of his work, because of his office, because of what he accomplished. Amen. That's what he is doing, and that's how it comes up before God even now. He knew the grief of those that he ministered to. He groaned and he wept at the cave grave of Lazarus. And thank God he was able to bring forth his power and his blessing. In verse 4, he has borne our grief and he carried our sorrow. He's acquainted with that. He knows about it. Verse 6, iniquity of all of us was laid upon him. Verse 12 again, the sins of many were carried by him. We read how he was tempted, yet without sin. And I'm thankful he who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And we might add there, we didn't know anything about righteousness. We had no inclination for it. We had no desire for it. But the Lord rescued us, praise God, and brought us into a place where our sins could be dealt with and his righteousness could be imparted. The strong becoming weak is a paradox that we would have difficulty understanding. Samson would be a prime example of that. His strength that he would use to help and deliver the people of Israel and pushing aside the oppression of the Philistines, but then eventually succumbing to the deceit of Delilah. And his strength was wasted as a slave, going round and round, grinding the grain of the Philistines. Unfortunately, the Lord answered one last prayer of his. But we're left to wonder, he's a young man, what could have been? How much more could have been accomplished because he let his power become weakness? But oh, I thank God that the power of the word of the Lord has been demonstrated many, many times in the strength that he has given. I'm thankful that he could utter just two words, I am. And those who were arresting him in the garden would fall backwards and perhaps wonder, what happened? Why am I sitting on the ground? And they quickly would scramble up and complete the arrest and bring the Lord to the judgment hall, and the travesty of justice would be enacted that night. We preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews, that's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. They wonder, How does that fit a Messiah? How does that fulfill the plan of God? But I'm thankful that we know the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, thank the Lord for the forgiveness that we find on the cross. When he prayed, Father, forgive them. I'm thankful that you were included. I was included. Praise God, the power of the Lord to bring forth that forgiveness. Amen. He recognizes our infirmities, and he does something about it. Romans 8 and 26 lets us know the Spirit helps our infirmities, those weaknesses that we struggle with, where we don't know how to pray sometimes. And there's a burden there, there's a need there, and we struggle with it. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God that we're able to pray in tongues. Thank God that we're able to talk to the Lord. Thank God that we're able to bring those burdens to him and know that he's able to minister to them. Praise God. Infirmities means feebleness. It means frailty. It means maladies. Whatever we face, whatever we're up against, I'm thankful the Spirit helps our infirmities. Thank God that there is that ministry that the Lord opens up to us as the Comforter. The Spirit of truth is able to provide for us. Amen. He gives us power to walk the walk and talk the talk. Thank God that there is that strength that he provides for us. Moreover, the Spirit helps us pray. Verse 26 that we cited here in Romans 8, he maketh intercession for us. Verse 27, he maketh intercession for the saints. Thank God. Verse 34, he makes intercession. I'm glad that the Lord knows how to bring about both the prayer and the answer to that prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer is the pathway to power in the Lord. And I'm thankful that prayer in the Spirit is part of the armor of God. And no, we talk about that shield. We talk about that sword and the helmet and the breastplate and the feet shod with the preparation and the belt and so on. But oh, let's not forget praying in the Spirit. Thank God that there is that aspect of praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Thank God that there is that prayer that we offer for one another. And there are times that we feel the burden and we don't know what the burden is, but we give way to that burden of prayer, praying in tongues, weeping, and desiring the Lord to work in whatever the need is. And we may not discover, we may not learn, we may not know what that burden entailed at that time, but thank God the Lord steps in. The Lord does His work. The Lord provides. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know His strength and His goodness. Thank God that we can come boldly to the throne. Hallelujah. We obtain mercy. We find grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful that there is that blessing that He provides for us, the grace that we are able to obtain at the throne of grace. A throne is going to be a place of judgment. A throne is going to be a place of majesty, but I'm thankful right now we're able to step into that realm and know His grace is there. His mercy can be obtained. His grace can be found. Thank God that we're able to receive from Him. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7 is so simple, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I like Phillips' translation, rendering it this way. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. Thank God that we can make it real in that regard. Philippians 4:6 in the Weymouth translation says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and earnest pleading together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unreservedly made known before God. Because He can take care of the little things. He can take care of the huge things. There's nothing too hard for our God. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in Him. I'm thankful that we can recognize He's able to do the work. Amen. John the Baptist was in prison. It wasn't a pleasant situation for him. Death was imminent. The threats that came against him from Herodias and her licentious daughter and all of the works that Herod would try to bring upon John and end his life and so on, or maybe he was trying to preserve it and try to do something righteous in his kingdom. But we know John was in prison. He sent his disciples with a question. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? He wanted to nail down the identity of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be sure of who it was. Not that he had doubts. Maybe he did. Maybe the darkness of the dungeon was difficult for him. Maybe it was harsh and hard, and he struggled. But I think it was more, you need to transfer your allegiance from me to Him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, was his announcement about Jesus. And now his disciples needed to follow after him because John's ministry of 6 months was about to come to an end. But I'm thankful that Luke 7:21 shows the action of the Lord before he gave an answer. In that same hour, the Bible says, he cured many of their infirmities. Infirmities? That's what it says. Infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Thank God for the action. Thank God for the work. Thank God for the evidence. Amen. It was done there. And then in verse 22, he gave his answer. Go and tell John, he spoke to those disciples. The blind see, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Oh, thank God. He knows how to deal with infirmities. He knows how to provide the answer. He knows how to bring the action. He knows how to show his power. Thank God that we are trusting him to do the work. the woman with infirmity, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, bent over, not able to straighten up. 18 long years, that disease progressively caused her to become more and more bowed. There was no healing for her. There was no means by which she could take care of the problem with her spine. There was no answer. But Jesus called her. Praise God. And then he pronounced, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately her spine was straightened. Immediately she could stand up straight, and praise God, she glorified God right there in the synagogue. Amen. Hallelujah. There are things that the Lord does for you. You can't stay quiet. You can't stay still. You've got to give expression to the praise and the worship. Hallelujah. Thank God for his power to minister in our midst. Thank God he's able to do the work. Amen. But then the criticism comes. Right there in church. My goodness. 6 days you have to work. Come and be healed then. Not on the Sabbath. Oh, my word. I'm sure if it was them who needed the healing and they were healed, there would be rejoicing just like that woman. Not the criticism. Not the opposition. Not the antagonism. But Jesus called him a hypocrite, and then no truer words were spoken. You loose your ox or your donkey from the stall to water them on the Sabbath. You take them out. That's work. You're working on the Sabbath, but you know they need the water. You know that you got to take care of them. How about this woman bound by infirmity for 18 years, that she should be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Oh, thank God, the Lord knows how to do the work. The Lord knows how to go beyond criticism and do the work for our infirmity. Amen. I'm thankful that the infirmity, be it physical or spiritual or emotional or mental, I'm thankful the Lord is able to do that work, able to provide that way, able to minister in a powerful way. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to bring it about. Amen. There are things that perhaps would bow us down and keep us bound, but I'm glad the Lord can say, you are loosed. You are loosed from your infirmity. Things that are perhaps heavy, a burden that we've been carrying, but I'm thankful that what has been weighing us down can be lifted off because of the Lord and his power. Hallelujah. When Lazarus was raised from the dead and he came shuffling out of that cave grave wrapped in grave clothes, I'm thankful the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Thank God that there's life that the Lord imparts. There's loosing that the Lord imparts. There's a lifting of the burden that the Lord imparts. Thank God that we know he takes care of our infirmities. He's able to do the work. He's able to bring the results. Thank God that there's life that he restores, and there's the let go. There's the loosing that he brings forth in our lives because he is touched with the feeling of your infirmity. And compassion flows from the Christ of every crisis. Understanding comes forth from him. We obtain mercy and we find grace when we come boldly before the throne. We receive power and we're blessed in his presence. Praise God. It's not a permissiveness to do whatever you want, to have the touch of God in your life and then go right back to iniquity and sin. No, it's not a permissiveness, but a power to change, a power to overcome. Praise God. The Greek in feelings that are there is sympathy and commiseration, but he does so much more than that. Thank God. Now, if you were to look up the word feelings, if you have an app on your phone, perhaps, or you got a dusty old dictionary on the shelf at home, and you look up that word feeling, you'll be surprised at how many meanings there are. I was definitely surprised. There's the tactile feeling, you know, your one of your five senses, and how sensitive it is. If your finger gets burned, there's a lot of nerve endings there. That's why you feel it so strong, so that you can be really sensitive to things. You know, a cat jumps on a hot stove, he'll never do it again. He won't jump on a cold stove either. He learned. And we have to learn. Feeling also has the idea of intuition. Got a bad feeling about that. Maybe that's a gift of suspicion. I don't know. Opinions or belief can be described in feelings. How do you feel about that? You know, how do you feel about this situation? Thank God our beliefs can be based on Scripture. We were talking earlier about how the world and society is allowing so many things that are opposed to the Scripture, but we still take a stand for the Scripture. That's what we believe. That's the foundation we stand upon. Amen. That's the word that God wants to bring forth. And then, offended. My feelings got hurt. You hurt my feelings. And that's probably the definition of feeling that is right up next to the touch, the tactile feeling. Maybe even goes beyond it. I don't know. People get their feelings hurt. You've had your feelings hurt. I've had my feelings hurt. But thank God we've been able to overcome. And the situation has been corrected. It should be corrected if it's interpersonal. And God help us as a family of God to be able to take care of that in spiritual maturity and be able to work through it. Amen. But Jesus touched people, and thank God he can be touched, and he does touch, and he changed people. And even the law said, don't touch, don't be in contact. It didn't matter to him. He touched the leper. He touched the dead. Amen. He touched the blind. Thank God that there is the healing that he brings forth in a powerful way. But now the scripture says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Thank God. The shortest verse in the Bible is often John 11:35. There are other verses that only contain two words, but I suppose these are the shortest words. Jesus wept. So profound, so meaningful, because he could identify with Mary and Martha. He could see their tears. He could feel their sorrow. He knew that they had faith, but they had put it in the past, and then they put it in the future. They were suffering now, and the Lord was going to do something with the now. Praise God. Thank the Lord that he stepped forth. We spent some time in Psalm 103 a little while ago, and we thank God for all of his benefits, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and as far as the east is from the west, and so on. But I like verse 13 that talks about the Father pitying his children, or has compassion upon his children. And thank God, the Lord is our Father, and he demonstrates that kind of compassion. He shows that kind of mercy. He's willing to do the work that he can for us. Amen. Thank God. Somebody with a device here, find Isaiah 63 and 9 for me in a new translation, maybe New International. Isaiah 63 and 9. I thank God that the scripture says, let us, therefore, in view of what was just said, based on what has happened, and knowing how the Lord demonstrates his compassion and his love, let us come boldly. Praise God. And I'm thankful it's based on a history of how the Lord demonstrated his love, how the Lord showed his power, how the Lord would not forsake his people, but he would be there again and again. You got it, Sister Becca? Isaiah 63, verse 9. All right, notice the action of the Lord. He redeemed them. He carried them. And I don't recall the others. Maybe go ahead and say the action words that the Lord did for his people there. All right. So when we face difficulties, when we're up against it, and we feel like we can hardly take another step, feel like we can hardly stand, rely on what the Lord is able to do, what he demonstrated already for a whole nation, for millions, and he'll come and minister to you in the same way. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that's who we serve. I'm thankful that's who we call upon. Amen. No wonder the scripture says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there is that throne. It represents power. It represents majesty. There's divine dominion that is shown in that throne. But thank God, it is a throne of grace. And we find grace to help in time of need. You experience times of need? Every day we do, and sometimes greater than others. But, oh, I'm glad we obtain mercy. I'm glad we find grace. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the power that he's able to bring forth and the blessing that he's able to produce. Amen. And then the challenge. It's time to do that. Not just read it. Not just think about it. It's time to step out boldly to the throne of grace. And we're looking for that grace. We want to obtain the mercy. We're believing the Lord. Not just for ourselves. Not just for ourselves. I know we're disappointed in the time of COVID that there hasn't been a fear that would drive those back who are backslidden, that would bring them back to an altar of prayer and repentance. I'm disappointed that there hasn't been the increase that we desired to see. But I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep coming boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm going to pray, God, extend your grace to them again. God, let them find your grace. Let them obtain your mercy. Bring them to the place of repentance. Let your goodness, God, lead them to repentance, like Romans 2 and 4 declares. Thank God that we can keep holding on and believing that the Lord is going to do that work. Stand, please, with me now. I, at the conclusion of every service, unless something else is going on, you know that I call you to a place of prayer. And I thank God for your response. You come and pray. You come and stand in the presence of God. And if you're doing it out of habit, that's better than having a habit of walking right out of here and forgetting everything that we heard, everything that we felt. There are people that do that. God, help us to be able to have that response, amen, and to reach out to the Lord. But now, right in this time, in this place, I want you to think about what your infirmities are. I want you to think about what your needs are. And I mean specifically now. I don't mean in a general sense. I don't mean in, Lord, you know. You tell him. You bring it forth. If it's a need in your body, if it's a need in your spirit, a need in your heart and your emotions, a need in your memory, whatever it is, I want you to be specific. You don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to air it out, but you do have to let him know what you're feeling, what you're struggling with. Well, we might say, well, Lord, you know. Yes, he does. But he wants you to exercise that faith, the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Show that faith. Demonstrate that faith. Stand on the word of God. Come boldly. Because you want to find grace. Come boldly. Because you want to obtain mercy. Amen. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a backslider. Maybe it's a need for healing that you're aware of of a friend or someone that you've heard about or someone you've been in contact with. But I need for you to zero in now and get that need. Amen. And if you're like me, you're praying for one need and another one pops into your mind. You pray for that one and then another one and then another one. That's all right. That's all right. But I need for you to identify that need and then step out and come boldly to the throne. Praise God. Go ahead and do that now. You got your need identified. You know, it's not just a general thing. You know, you're not just going through the motions and fulfilling a habit. No, you're coming boldly. Hallelujah. You're going to call on the Lord boldly. You're going to believe the Lord boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, go ahead and call upon the Lord now. Boldly. Hallelujah. Find that grace. Obtain that mercy. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. Work a work, Lord, in your mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. See you.